Hey, good morning, everyone. Can y'all give me a thumbs up that you can hear me? Oh, good. I'm at home because tested positive yesterday evening for COVID still. I thank God for the test. Thank God for the ability to rest at home. It's good to be with you guys in spirit. So let's dig into the word. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to finish this book today, Paul's letter. He's going to finish with a final admonition to the church and then greetings from several people. So let's rise. Let's read these last few words together. Going to read Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. We're just going to read these first six verses together. Verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And let me pray for us. Father, it is good to be together in your spirit. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling, pray for those who are home, or that they would be finding fellowship. Keep them safe, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we can be together. We can lift up our songs of praise. We can lift up your word. Lord, speak to us now. We want to listen. Pray your word to go deep in our hearts. Continue to transform us, Lord, that we can follow after you, follow in the narrow way. Revive us by your word and your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And many of us might be home at times for the summer, but home now might feel kind of lonely at times. No one else is around, get kind of bored. But when we're with people at school or at work or at a party, or I hope it doesn't happen at church, if you're around people and you feel lonely, that just accentuates our loneliness. If we're not connected with one another, like taking a magnifying glass and focusing the sun's rays, burning a hole in your heart. That's what we have in our culture today. We have a crisis of loneliness. You guys have heard about it. You've seen it. Maybe at times you've felt it. It's we're less connected than we've ever been before. And one writer calls it a crisis of atomization. Individual atoms not connected with one another. Writers Willow Liana, in an article in a journal called Erraticus, Judy shared it with me a couple of weeks ago. Quote, where loneliness is a feeling inside of us, atomization speaks to the reality of our circumstances. Although loneliness can present itself in any culture and time, its current excess is a byproduct of atomization. We're more individualized. We're less connected. We can't handle the constraints that true friendship, even romantic relationships, bring. And we're getting further apart. We're using chatbots even for romance. Every year, there's a marketing firm called YPulse, and it surveys people, and then it sells its data to brands, to companies. And every year, it asks Generation Z and the millennials, what are their top concerns? 2019, it asked them, and the top concern was climate change, number one. 20 and 21, the top concern for racism and COVID-19. But this year, 2022, two new items took the top spot. They hadn't been in the top 10. Suddenly, they're number one and two. The first one, of course, is inflation. When they asked them, what do you think is the biggest problem your generation faces right now? The number two was technology over dependence and addiction. It's increasing our loneliness, taking it to epidemic levels. Well, Here in this letter to the Colossian church, Paul is writing from prison. He's in prison. Does he feel lonely? Not at all. His life is full. It is jam-packed with community. Now, he's under house arrest, so people can come and go. But Paul is stuck, yet he's more involved than ever in the Great Commission. He literally doesn't have time to feel lonely. And here, as he ends his letter, he looks outward. He started off looking up at Christ, the supremacy of Christ as our Redeemer, as our friend, as our sustainer, and then looked in at the church, dealing with false teaching, getting them stronger. And now he ends, he's looking out and connected with other Christians and looking out to the Great Commission. If you are struggling with feelings of loneliness, we want you to hear the call of the Good Shepherd to go, to serve, to testify, to network, to reach out to people. We've been given a purpose. We've been giving marching orders. We want to go. There's not time to feel lonely. The first thing that Paul says here, first part of our marching orders, Paul says, pray with watchfulness. Pray with watchfulness. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Watchful for what? Watching for the second coming of Jesus. We're ever vigilant, looking, awaiting his return. Now, big issues can shake us up, cause us to sober up. You know, things like war or the pandemic, we suddenly stop and think, oh, what's really important in life? I need to get my priorities in line. Nothing compares to being waiting for the second coming of Christ. There's nothing more epic, more transformative to all of the world than looking for a second coming. And Paul says here, we need to be watchful, waiting. Brother Ed, previously in his prayer, talked about the parable, Jesus' parable of the bridesmaids. Jesus told several parables and said several things to put in us kind of a fear of being ready, being vigilant, not being distracted, not letting the world sing us a lullaby. No, I'm waiting. I'm watching. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. These are like the 10 bridesmaids. They're waiting. It says 5 of them were wise. They had plenty of oil so that they could be ready when the wedding began. 5 of them were foolish. And when the call came, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. The foolish ones had to run out and buy oil. They weren't ready. You know, I've officiated 10 weddings. And even in that time, I have seen some really just, frankly, worthless bridesmaids. I mean, 2 items on their agenda. They need to be ready. They need to help the bride be ready. That's it. That's their job, to be ready. You know, we're ready to go. Oh, so-and-so, she ran to the ATM and then get some french fries. And you're like, oh my goodness, how could you not be ready? We've been planning this for a year. Jesus said, the foolish ones ran out and they came running back. The banquet had begun. They're knocking on the door and he will answer from inside the door, I don't know you. And Jesus put that fear in us. You watch, therefore. You don't know the day or the hour. Someday soon, it could happen today. There's going to be a trumpet blast. The angels will cry out. The wedding of the Lamb has come. Corinthians told them, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Told the Thessalonian church, so then let us not sleep as others do. Let us keep awake and be sober. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to get carried away by what's going on in the world. There's something huge that's going to happen soon. I want to be found ready, waiting, watching. Peter told the churches, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. We want to live ever vigilant, waiting, watching. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That at all times, regardless of what's going on, I'm giving thanks to God. Thank you, God, that I can breathe and feel the sunshine today. Thank you for the health that I have, for the medicine I can take, doctors that I can see that can help me. Thank you for the food I can eat, the songs I can sing, the people I can work with. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your church. Thank you, Lord, that I have another day I can serve, I can help people, I can share. At the same time, Paul says, verse 3, pray also for us. God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. We can get on our knees. We can pray for others. That's something we are called to do, vigilantly called to pray for others, pray for one another. We pray for others, we can't feel anxious. If I'm interceding for my brother and sister, not only do I not feel anxious, I don't feel lonely. We can pray for our friends. Cass just updated us last week about Randall and Foon serving in Southeast Asia there with their kids, Theodore and Arabelle. They're looking for a school. They're serving in Southeast Asia, gone there as missionaries to serve the church. They want to find a school where Theodore and Arabelle can really settle down and make friends. They've been sick for a long time, and they're just praying, please pray for a relief. We want to be healthy for a while. They're asking, Randall's doing his language learning. He's passed his motorcycle test. We rejoice. They said, pray for us. In fact, why don't we stop and just pray for them right now? It's something we are called to do. There's Fung and Randall. But would you pray with me now? Lord, we give you thanks for Fung and Randall, Lord. Thank you that you have called them, that you've equipped them, Lord. We saw the past couple of years how patiently, Lord, they had to wait and serve, and now they are there. Lord, we pray that they could have a season of health, Lord. You take away the sickness, that they could, all of them, Lord, be well. If not, Lord, we pray you continue to sustain them with the strength to say, your grace is sufficient. Guide them, Lord, in searching for a school where Theodore and Arabelle can make friends, can get connected, can grow and learn, and just be part of the community there. We pray you give them endurance doing the paperwork for Randall to get his work visa. Lord, we thank you so much for this family. We pray they would know your hand on them, your love for them. Lord, how do we bless them? How do we support them? We lift them up to you. They are precious to us. We thank you for them. Bless them, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? You know, we're connected. God is at work. God is drawing his people to him. Okay, Paul says, be vigilant, be watchful. Jesus will come back. We want to be ready, and we want to be praying for his people. The next thing he says here, be watchful. He says, pray with watchfulness. And then Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. Pray with watchfulness, make the most of every opportunity. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, verse 5, making the best. He says, literally redeeming the time. Jesus redeemed us, laid down his life for us. We want to redeem our time. Let our speech be gracious, gracious, seasoned with salt. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. I have you here to be speaking words of truth, of life to those who are hurting, lost, lonely, in a world full of darkness and confusion and madness. Our task is to bring the salt of life and good news and redeem the time. Just be creative. Do what you can to make the most of the time. Years ago up in Massachusetts, there was a YMCA camp, Young Men Christians Association. It was a very evangelistic, disciple-building ministry. There was a guy there. it was a rainy day, a guy named James Naismith. How do I keep these boys off the street? How do I redeem the time? I want to help these boys. What do you do? Well, you invent the game of basketball. Isn't that creative? Isn't that redeeming the time? That's what James Naismith did. That's making the most of every opportunity. You know, years later, some 25 years later, they sent him to Paris and they put him in charge of the hygiene department. That sounds so incredibly boring. What am I in Paris in charge of the hygiene department for? Particularly working with soldiers, hygiene in regards to the brothels that sprung up outside their camps. What do you do? Well, James Naismith, he didn't set up basketball courts. He set up boxing rings. Prize fighting might seem like odd preaching, but it worked. It worked for those soldiers. He wanted them to fight a good fight of faith. That is redeeming the time. That's making the most of every opportunity. You and I, we want to make the most of our time. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, right? He told his wise men, I want you to tell me what I dreamt and then interpret my dream for me. And his wise men were like, yeah, nobody can do that. You tell us the dream and then we'll interpret. And Nebuchadnezzar was like, I think you guys are scamming me. You tell me my dream. You're trying, and that he uses the same verbiage here. You're trying to buy time. Listen, we understand the mystery. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to explain the mystery. We understand God's mystery, hidden for ages and generations. It's an epic mystery, and it's grand, it's glorious. And someday Jesus is coming back, and we want to go and tell people. We want to make the most of our time, tell people about it. Last time I was in Kroger, I'm eager to get back to Kroger. Last time I was in Kroger, I can't because I have COVID. But I want to get back. I talked to Helga, lady at the checkout line. I said, Helga, if I were to pray to God this week and ask him to do a miracle in your life, what's something I could pray for you? She told me about Shelby, her husband. Shelby's on dialysis. And he's got other health issues. So he just feels stuck at home. He feels like he just can't do anything. And we talked for a good 5 minutes and it was wonderful. And I pray for them. And you know what? I don't have time. I don't have time to feel lonely. I can talk with Helga. Tell me about Shelby. I'm eager to get back there and ask her again how he's doing. Tell her I've been praying for them. Hebrews says, encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says the time is short. Pray with watchfulness, with thanksgiving, make the most of our time. Finally, third thing Paul says to do here is to network with other believers. Network with other believers. Let me just, I'll just read a few of these verses. He goes on and on. He ends his letter talking about, he's got this rainbow coalition. He's bringing greetings from some Jews, from some Gentiles. He's making all these connections. Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He's a beloved brother and faithful minister, in the Lord. And then he mentions several others here. Tychicus was a resident of province of Asia. He spent time in Ephesus during Paul's ministry there. He's one of seven men that represented the churches bringing famine relief to Jerusalem. A couple of years, Tychicus is going to go to Crete, and he'll bring letters there. He'll bring Paul's last letter to Timothy. He comes with Paul's letter with Onesimus, the runaway slave. Paul says, with him, our faithful beloved brother, one of you. Onesimus's master was Philemon, was part of the Colossian church. Okay, Paul brings greetings from Aristarchus, his fellow prisoner. Aristarchus was from Thessalonica, had been arrested with Paul in Ephesus when the silversmith started, a riot. He also was part of the company for the collection of famine relief in Jerusalem. He was with Paul when they sailed from Caesarea to Rome. Paul also brings greetings from Mark. Who is Mark? Well, do you remember at the end of the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus is in Gethsemane and he comes in and is arrested and says there's a young man there in a loincloth, and he runs away scared and his loincloth gets caught in the thorns and he runs off naked? That was most likely Mark. And later on, he worked closely with Peter for a long time, and he can write the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is all about the failure of the disciples. They're like the last one to catch on to what is going on. And Mark can testify to this. He can testify to his own failure. Mark was with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. After a few weeks or months of that, he got scared, ran off, because they kept getting chased and persecuted and thrown in jail. Later on, Mark wants to come back. Paul says, no, he's a quitter. Barnabas says, yes, we want to welcome him back. And Paul and Barnabas fight, and they disagree, and they separate. Paul takes Barnabas. Paul takes Timothy and Silas. Barnabas takes Mark. They go their separate ways. God uses both of them. Failure is inevitable. Failure is not the worst that can happen to you. Get back up. Anyway, Paul brings greetings from Mark. He brings greetings from Epaphras. Luke, the beloved physician, writes the Gospel of Luke. Luke was with Paul when he was arrested both times. And he's with them in Caesarea and then his two-year imprisonment in Rome. How about Demas? Stay with me here. Paul brings greetings from Demas. Who's Demas? Well, right now he's part of the team, and he's faithful, and he's part of this coalition bringing the gospel out. But you know what? In about 4 or 5 years, when Paul writes his last letter to 2 Timothy, he says this: for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Mark had deserted them out of fear, but he says Demas, it's out of love for this world. Demas is no longer. He's left the faith. Okay, again, there can be failure, and then there's just falling in love with the things of this world. Listen. Okay, everybody, if you've fallen asleep, wake up, listen to me, okay? Come back. It is easy to fool both ourselves and fool others regarding our faith. Demas here, we don't know. We don't know what happens to him. We can't judge, but he falls in love with the world. He leaves the team. He's no longer part of the church. We don't know. You remember the five foolish virgins? They thought they were part of the party. They thought they were going to the banquet. What does the bridegroom say? He says, I don't know you. We want to examine our hearts. Am I for real? Do I really believe this stuff? If I really believe this stuff, of course, my life is going to be guided by watching for the return of my Lord, watching, waiting for that cry, the wedding of the Lamb has come. Of course, if I believe this stuff, it's going to guide everything in my life. Okay, let's finish up here. Paul says, pray with watchfulness. It says, make the most of your time. It says, stay connected with the believers. Here's all these greetings from everyone. We're out. We're spreading the good news. Paul says, read the letters, right? Read my letters. He says, read the letter. When Tychicus and Philemon bring the letter to the Colossian church, they also bring a letter to the church in Laodicea. Paul says, read each other's letters. Now, one thing this does is connect people. It also stops the heresy. Paul says, remember my chains. He says, pray for me. He had been planning to go to Spain. He wanted to keep taking the gospel outward. But the false teachers were causing so much trouble in the churches. By the time he gets out of prison, about a year after this, instead, he's going to go back to the churches. to strengthen their doctrine, to guard them against the false teaching. And he says, read these letters. We have to read carefully. Peter talks about how difficult some of Paul's letters are. You can see Peter the fisherman, uneducated, scratching his head, trying to understand the book of Romans. But Peter says, yes, there are some things that are hard to understand. That's what Peter tells the churches in his own letter. Things that are hard to understand in Paul's letters, the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people. In other words, read carefully, stay connected with God's people, guard the doctrine, and go out and proclaim the good news. What is the good news? It's finished up here. What are they proclaiming? The world is clear that there are good people and bad people, right? Some people go to prison. Other people go to banquets. They get Nobel Prizes. There's good and the bad. The heresy that was threatening the Colossian church and so many other churches was that the battle between good and evil defines everything, right? That there's this, you know, good side of the force, bad side of the force. That there's this constant war. He said the flesh is bad. We want to escape to the spiritual world of good things. And that's so contrary to the Bible's teaching. It's contrary to the gospel. It'll distort the church, the message, everything about it. If we think, oh, there's this huge battle between. No. The Bible has a very different message. We are all rebels against our Creator. His creation is good. He created us in his image. Every person alive while they're still breathing is precious, has the image of God in them. And we are cursed because of our rebellion. This creation is cursed. But are you familiar with your hearts bent toward itself, living for myself, my own kingdom, making excuses for myself? If we keep living, if a person lives for themselves, they're headed not just towards loneliness, but towards misery and ultimately towards the judgment of God, saying, who are you? How could you live this way? If you turn your eyes to heaven, look to Jesus, look to him hanging on the cross, look at him reigning in glory, we're waiting for his return. We look for that. We pray for others. We persuade others to look to Jesus. We serve in the church. Our lives will be full of community, be full of relationships, and we will press on to know him, to proclaim his glory. His desire is that none would be judged. His desire is to bring life, to bring living water, to bring healing, to recreate us. He was in Christ as a new creature. That's good news. Let's proclaim that. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you. You make it clear, Lord. You want us to be out serving, sharing, Lord, proclaiming, serving one another, worshiping together, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone with us this morning that feels lonely, anyone who feels disconnected, Lord, first and foremost, they would hear your call to draw close. Lord, your desire is to bless us. When we humble ourselves before you, you will lift us up. And then you'll send us out. You'll send us out right away to go and share. And Lord, we pray we could be well connected with one another. We could see each other, share with one another, pray for one another. Lord, be glorified and draw us close. And Lord, use us to proclaim this good news. Revive us in your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, that's the letter to Colossians. From now on, we're going to go into the book of Psalms. In fact, what do you do when you're stuck at home? I built a little rack for some prayer pamphlets right outside the front door there. That's where we're going to be going the next couple of months. Hopefully, I'll see you guys next week. God bless.